If you have your Bible today, I'd like to turn to the scripture. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And I have verses 1 through 23. Actually, I'll just read the first verses 3 through 9 right now, and then we'll refer to the other verses in a few moments. Matthew, chapter 13. This scripture reads, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful again for the privilege that we have of being here in your house again. We're here for the sole purpose, Lord, of worshiping and serving you. And we're here to hear your word, Lord. As it's given, we just pray, God, that it would find reception in our hearts, that it would be a challenge to us, Lord, to live a godly life like you want us to live. We pray for the people of this church. We thank you for them, their commitment to you, and we just pray that you'd bless them in a very special way. Bless me as I shall speak, and these people as they shall hear. For Christ's sake, we pray it. Amen. Now, today's account in Scripture is not only given here in the Gospel of Matthew, but it's found in Mark and Luke as well. And it concerns a parable that Jesus Christ himself told about the importance of hearing with our heart, not just our ears, but with our heart, and of course, responding in the way that he challenges us to do indeed. Now, a parable in its most basic form is nothing but a story. But a parable means simply this. It means coming alongside something. And that's what Jesus did often. He taught by means of parable. As a matter of fact, some 46 times in Scripture, Jesus used parables because it was a very effective teaching tool. But the reason that he used parables was this. He took something that they were familiar with, like a sower sowing seed, and he put it alongside a spiritual truth. In other words, that they might know this and they might understand exactly what he was saying indeed. And he tells us right here the reason that he speaks with parables is that in one verse he says this, in verse 11, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom has been given to you and not to them. He's speaking to his disciples. So in other words, he says simply this. Because of your background, because of your raising, because you were Jews, and he was largely speaking to a Jewish crowd, and he was also speaking to his disciples, he said, you have an advantage that these people, by and large, do not have. He said, because you were taught in the home, you learned certain things about God, you learned spiritual truths there, but these people did not have that opportunity. And I would say to you today, if you were raised in church, you have a distinct advantage over those people that were not raised in church. Because we know the spiritual terms. We know that propitiation, for instance. Now, if you said that to some people are looking at me kind of funny, even the congregation. But in all seriousness, if you were raised in church, you probably have heard that word many times. But if you were not raised in church, that is a brand new word to you. So Jesus' use of parables, he used them extensively because he realized that a lot of people would not know what he was talking about. He wanted them to fully understand. He wanted them to know. He wanted them to hear and make application to their heart. And of course, that's anytime the Word of God goes forth, that's what God wants. He wants us to hear it, not only with our ears, but with our heart. He wants us to take it inside of us, think those things over, and then realize that it's for our benefit, for our growth, for our help, and then to do those things that he tells us to do. Now, our first point for today is simply this. Hearing is an important part of life. Hearing is a very important part of life. Because a lot of what we know, a lot of the things that we get in life comes through the ears. Somebody has said it, maybe on the radio, maybe on television, maybe we heard a lecture. You've probably all sat in the classroom for many hours and heard teachers or heard other people speak or teach, and you learn that way. It's very important what we hear through our ears. But Jesus is not talking about natural hearing. He's talking about spiritual hearing. He's talking about understanding things in the spiritual sense. So he takes earthly things and he draws them alongside spiritual things in order that people might hear effectively indeed. Now, when a person does not hear well, it leads to a lot of misunderstanding, and it leads to a lot of problems sometimes and confusion even. It's kind of like three elderly men once. They were all getting on in years and none of them heard very well, but they liked to take a walk every afternoon and they would discuss things and so forth. And one day as they were walking along, one of them said, "It's windy today." And the other one didn't hear it very well. And he said, "No, it's not Wednesday, it's Thursday." And the other guy said, "You know, I'm thirsty too. Let's stop and have a Coke before we go anywhere else." A man and woman had been married for over 40 years once, and they were talking about, they were about to have a new anniversary, and they were talking about things, and both of them had hearing problems as well. And by the way, I'm not making fun of people who have hearing problems, because I realize that in recent years that I don't hear as well as I used to. Jewel says to me sometimes, "You know, you say, what did you say?" And I, sometimes it's just not listening, period, but sometimes I am listening and I don't think she's talking loud enough and I blame it on her, but it's probably me. But anyway, this couple who had been married over 40 years, they were talking and he said, "I appreciate you because you've been tried and true." And she said, "Well, you know, I'm tired of you too." Man got a new hearing aid once. He had a hearing problem. He got a brand new hearing aid, and he was proud of it. And he was talking to his friend, and he said, "Yeah, I got a new hearing aid," and he said, "I paid $5,000 for that hearing aid, but I really like it." And he said, "What kind is it?" And he said, "Time? I think it's about 12:30. One more, and I'll go on. A man was in church once, and the pastor was up front, and he was taking special prayer requests. And he said to his pastor, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I want to request prayer for my hearing." And the pastor said, "Well, okay." He said, "I think that's a good idea." He said, "Why don't we just do that right now?" He said, "Would you please just come up to the front of the church?" And he called some elders of the church, and they came up and laid hands on him. And the pastor put his hands over his ears, and he prayed a long prayer about, "Please restore this man's hearing. Please help his hearing indeed." And he went into, you know, he took a long time to say this. And then after he got through praying, he said to the man, he said, "Do you think that the Lord has answered this prayer, that you can hear any better?" And he said, "Well, Pastor, I really don't believe so." He said, "I was not talking about my hearing with my ears." He said, "I was talking about a hearing I was going to have in court next week." All right. Jesus was not talking about natural hearing. He was talking about spiritual hearing. That we might know exactly what God wants us to know. And any time the Word of God goes forth, any time the Word of God is proclaimed, we have the responsibility of being careful listeners, and then not only listening, but doing those things that God wants us to do. That's the sort of response that He wants indeed. Now, point number two, Jesus tells us about three things, three primary things here. He tells us about the sower, He tells us about the seed, and He tells us about the soil. Now, first of all, He mentions the sower. And the sower is anyone who proclaims the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. When they stand to teach, when they proclaim the truth of God's message, that is a sower of the seed. And in this case, here in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, it is Jesus Christ himself who is sowing the seed. He is giving forth the message of God. He's saying, this is what you need to do. This is what God requires of you. That is the spiritual truth indeed. But a sower of the seed is anyone who presents the Word of God in any way, in its all of its truth, all of its effectiveness. The sower is one who does exactly that. A sower of the seed can be a Sunday school teacher. And by the way, I learned many things. Being raised in church, I learned many things in Sunday school when I was a boy and on up in my teen years and so forth. I learned a lot of things there. And probably the teacher that made a big impression upon me was one that I had when I was very, very small. And now she taught things, and she had a way of teaching things that I just liked to listen to. And it didn't hurt that she was young, she was pretty, she had a very sweet voice, and I think she liked me too. So all those things, probably I probably listened to her more than I would have somebody else. But she was an effective teacher, and I learned many things. And she was a sower of the Word of God. A sower of the Word of God can be a leader of a small group. It can be a preacher. It can be an evangelist. But by the way, every Christian, every believer, every born-again believer needs to be a sower of the Word of God. We need to present the Word of God to a lost and dying world. Because as we constantly say, our world today is going further and further away from God. Our society is becoming more and more ungodly, and more ungodly that our society becomes, the more it's our responsibility to present to them the Word of God. And it doesn't mean that you have to go out and grab somebody by the shirt collar and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Some of the most effective ways that you can sow the Word of God is simply by living a consistent and a faithful life before them. Because even if you spoke to them about their soul, if an opportunity presents itself, do that exactly indeed, but show them love, show them attention, show them that they are a very important person, show them that you are nothing except a sinner yourself, saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show them a life that of faith, of consistency. Show them that you are a fair person, that you treat others like you want to be treated yourself. Be patient, be kind, be loving, and you will be a sower of the Word of God. And they will take notice. They may not always say anything. They might not respond to you openly in a very positive way. But I guarantee you, you live a holy life. You live a life of faith. You let them show that regardless of what happens in your life, that God is going to be first. And I guarantee you that you will make a positive impression in their life. And God will bless you for your effort indeed. So be a sower of the Word. Live a consistent life that honors and glorifies the name of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Jesus not only mentions the sower and the importance of sowing, he mentions the Word here. And, of course, that the seed is the Word of God itself. Now, the Word of God is very important because it's not our ideas, it's not my thought, it's not your thought that's so important. It's God's Word that will not return unto him void. And they used to tell us in Bible school, make sure, especially young preachers, they taught us this. They said, one guy used to put it this way, one professor used to put it this way. He said, listen, he said, make sure the first thing you do when you get up to preach is read a Bible scripture to them. And of course, your sermon is supposed to be based upon that. But he said, even if they don't get anything out of what you say, at least they will hear the Word of God, and that's what they need to hear the most. Now, that wasn't exactly encouraging in a way, but it's very true that it's the Word of God that goes forth. It's the Word of God that makes a difference in a person's life. It's the Word of God that's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword and quick and powerful and all these other things. So, you know, it's the Word of God, it's the seed that's sown that will bring light in the midst of darkness. It's the seed that we sow, the Word of God in a person's life that will bring comfort to them, that will bring joy to them, that will realize, that will bring conviction to them to realize that they need to turn from the error of their way and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's first of all the sower, one who proclaims the Word of God in any fashion by the spoken word, by the written word, or by of the life that we lived. Then there's the seed, which is the Word of God. And then thirdly, there's the soil. And this is nothing more than the heart and mind of mankind. How we receive it in our heart and what we do with that is what God asks of us indeed. And point number three, Jesus tells us there are four kinds as the sower went forth to sow. He said there are four kinds of soil, four kinds of ground that the seed falls upon. He says this, first of all, there's the hard soil or the hard ground. Now, by the way, any time that a person hears the Word of God, sometimes it falls on unreceptive ears. It falls upon closed minds. They just don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. They don't want to do those things that God tells them to do indeed. And that's very unfortunate when that happens. But some people are just not open to the Word of God. They just simply don't want to hear it. And that's what Jesus said right here when the sower went forth to sow. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and some fell among the paths, and the birds came and ate it up very quickly. Now, I was not raised on a farm, but I was raised kind of outside the city limits. We had 3 acres, and we always had a garden every year, even when I was a boy. And I did not like to work in the garden, but my mother did not give me the option of doing that. But anyway, we raised a garden every year, and I did enjoy the food out of the garden. But I know a little bit about gardening and so forth, but I know this, that when something is planted in a field or a garden, you have the rows of plants, and then in between is where that you can actually walk and gather the food sometimes or gather the fruits of what you've planted, or sometimes you have to walk there to weed it or water it and things like this. But it's right in the middle of the row, right there where plants actually grow, and then between the rows are where you can actually walk. And Jesus said, when this sower went forth to sow, he said, some fell on hard ground. And of course, it did not fall, it did not go into the ground. But very soon that the birds came and ate it up, and it was just, it did not accomplish anything at all. Now, you know, the Word of God sometimes is like that. It finds that response in some people's minds. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear anything about it. And that's unfortunate when a person has that attitude, and it's very dangerous when they take that attitude, because the Bible warns this, says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his heart shall be cut off, and that without remedy. Not everybody is easy to talk to. Not everybody wants to hear the Word of God, even though we have a responsibility of giving it. And we constantly are bombarded, if we're open a little bit, you know, to the Word of God. It's on radio, it's on television, it's on the internet. There's so many sources that we can look to today God gives us an opportunity that people in many years ago did not have the opportunity that we have. And we ought to be receptive to it, we ought to be open to it, but not all people are. Unfortunately so. They take a hardened attitude. My mind is made up. I don't want to hear the truth. And it's a very dangerous thing, because the more that we say no to God, the more that we resist God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the easier it becomes, until we simply just don't want to hear it anymore, and we're lost forever indeed. So I would say that Jesus is teaching us this, that we ought to always be open to the Word of God. We ought to always be receptive to it. We ought to have a tender heart. We ought to have a desire to learn. And by the way, as I've told you before, I've been saved virtually all my life. When I was a young boy, I was saved. I've been pastoring for 44 years now. But do I know everything that the Bible teaches? Do I know, can I sit down and explain to you every single thing that the Word of God says? Do I need to learn more? Do I need to ever be learning and receptive to the Word of God to be open to it? Yes, I do. We never get to that point. Have a desire to grow. Have an open heart. Have an open mind. That's what God wants. And it's always dangerous when the Word of God falls on hard ground, but that's what happens in some people's cases. The next thing that Jesus talks about when he talks about the soil, he talks about the hard ground. In verse 5, he says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up very quickly because the soil was shallow. And then when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Now, this talks about the importance of growth in our spiritual life, a desire to grow. And just because you come to church and just because you profess Jesus Christ and you're born again, that's the most important thing. But from that point, you need to have an attitude, I want to grow, I want to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, because if we don't grow, if we don't mature, if we don't seek discipleship, if we don't do those things, we end up just being babes in Christ. We're not very effective for Him, and that's what's so very important. Now, you know, some people think, well, I can just come to church every now and then, and it's not, you know, the only thing I have to do is just confess my sins, and I'll be okay forever. And, of course, you're only saved one time. I would never disagree with that. But let's remember this. When you are saved, you have a responsibility to grow and become a very strong Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ so that He can use you in His kingdom to affect others so that they might hear as well. And one of the blights of Christianity, one of the problems that the New Testament church of Corinthians had was they were babes in Christ. And Paul had to address this. He said, you ought to be on the meat of the Word. And he said, you're on the milk of the Word. And this is what Jesus is addressing right here. He says, you ought to be strong. You ought to have a desire to grow. You ought to have a desire to mature, because this seed fell into shallow ground. It sprung up. But then when problems came, when temptation came, when problems arose in this person's family, or they got out of work, or they had financial problems or marital problems, he said that person just soon vanished away. So what the Lord is saying right here is growing spiritually is very important. Don't settle for the shallow things. Don't settle just for the minimum. But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. That's what the Bible tells us to do. A person who goes deep in spiritual things is going to be a strong witness for Jesus Christ. A person who grows deep in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a strong Christian that lets their light shine to a lost and dying world. Don't settle just for the minimum. Instead, grow. And God will bless you in a very special way indeed. Number 3, he talks about the seed that falls into the ground, but then it does not grow because it falls among the thorns and the briars and things like this. And I would say that the Lord right here is talking about people who get too easily distracted. And he's talking about Christians. He's talking about people who actually receive the Word of God, but God is not number one in their life. He's not their number one priority. Instead of God being on the throne of their heart, something else is. And maybe it's not things that are necessarily wrong by themselves, but if we let anything come between us and God, that becomes wrong to us. God must be number one. He must be the Lord of our life, or He's not going to be in our life. But too many times, some people say, well, you know, I enjoy going to church, but I really, you know, I've worked hard all week, and, you know, I just by Sunday, I'm awfully tired. I'm so tired, I just don't feel like it. But, you know, if they felt the same way, many times that same person would go to work. But what about church? What about the service to God? What about that God must be number one? We must love Him above everything else. Don't let anything else be the number one priority in your life except God and serving Him and reading His Word and doing the things that He tells us to do. Too many times, family becomes before God. A person's job becomes before God. And those things are not wrong, but they are wrong when they're put before God. Or going out and, you know, I spend the weekends, you know, on the lake. We used to have a family in our church that I used to get so distressed at them. I never said anything to them, but inside I really wanted to say a lot of things. Because you could depend on them coming once every 3 to 4 weeks. And then in the summertime you never saw them because that was lake time. That was time they're boating and skiing and all this. Nothing wrong with that in its proper place, but too many times we let other things come between us and God. We cannot do that. That's what Jesus talked about. He said some fell among the thorns, and the thorns soon just overtook that. Now, I know enough about gardening to know this. You've got to weed it out. As a matter of fact, that was one of my main jobs as a boy, and that I disliked very much, was weeding it, because my mother would constantly say, "Now, Kenny, you've got to weed the garden. You've got to hoe the garden, because otherwise the weed's going to take it over, and they'll sap the strength of the plants, and we just won't have the plants that are, you know, the fruit that we want to have." Very important that we put God number one. That He be the priority of our life, the most important thing of our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the Bible tells us, and all these other things will be added unto you. God wants you to love your family. God wants you to have a good time. It's okay to go to the lake, but don't ever put those things before you put God, before you put His house, before you put worship of Him. If you do, it's very wrong, and it will choke out your fruitfulness. You will not be the sort of person that God can use in the way that He wants to use you indeed. Number four, Jesus talks about the good soil, the good ground, where the seed falls. And that's what God wants. God wants an open heart. God wants a receptive mind. God wants the attitude that says, "Yes, Lord, you tell me, yes, I desire to know more and more and more of you. I desire to be closer to you." And the Lord says, "But the seed that was fallen on the good soil refers to someone who hears the Word of God, who understands it, and this person produces a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Now, what is a fruitful life? It's a life that's been transformed by the power of God. It's a life that has heard the Word of God, that has received it in their heart, and then does those things that God would have us to do. That's a different person that's transformed by the power of God. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things are gone. Sinful ways are gone. Number one is the Lord God Himself. You love others as you love yourself. You put God before you put other things in life. You bear the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, righteousness, goodness. You bear those fruits. God expects that of us. Have a receptive heart to God's mind, God's Word, because He speaks to you each and every day. He wants you to live a transformed life. He wants you to live a holy life and a righteous life. Number four, how do we put this parable into practice? I would say there are three or four ways that we can respond in a way that God would have us to this parable. First of all, we've got to get into the Word of God itself. Every day, you ought to read the Word of God. Every day, you ought to be having open. One of the first things you do every day should be open up God's Word. Because God speaks to you, God wants to speak to your heart and to your mind, and He wants you to be open to it, indeed. Read God's Word, study God's Word, meditate upon God's Word. It's not going to come to you just automatically, just by looking at it very casually. You've got to read God's Word and study it and say, God, what is this saying? And when we'll take it that way, when we'll say, God, what was this saying when it was originally written? And that's very important, what God was saying then. What was He saying to those people? But what is He saying today? Because God's Word is relevant today. God's Word is current today. And God's Word is very personal. It can speak to you. It can give you peace. It can give you encouragement. It can give you strength. It can give you conviction. It can convict you when you're wrong. It can encourage you to do the right thing. You need God's message each and every day. Ask God to open up your heart and speak to you, because He will. But He can't speak as effectively, and He will not speak to you as often if you never open His Word. You know, this is God's message to us. It's His love to us. Now, you don't have to tell Jewel I said this, but, you know, we need to think of God's Word like a love letter. And, by the way, when we were dating, I remember she went away to college for 2 weeks, by the way. For 2 weeks, she went away to college. And she called me after the first week and said, I'm lonely. And it was about 150 miles away. She said, would you please come up and, you know, spend the weekend with me? I hadn't planned on that just quite that fast. But anyway, I guess she missed me so bad, you know, she just couldn't say, you know, you believe that, don't respond. Anyway, she was gone a week and said, please come up, and so forth. But the 2 weeks that she was gone, she wrote me several letters. And by the way, she wasn't mushy or anything like this, but did I ignore those letters? No, I read it. And then I'd read it again, and I'd read it several times. I remember my mother saying to me, so, good grief, Kenny, I thought you read that letter already. Well, I did. The Bible is God's instruction to you, telling you how to live, but it's Him telling you how much He loves you, how His blessings are there. Joy and strength comes from reading God's Word. Don't neglect it, because it will be to your detriment. You'll never grow. You'll never mature in the world like God wants you to, unless you do it. Ask God for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberty and upbraideth not. The Bible says this. And you know, when Jesus was going away, when He had completed His 3 years of public ministry, when He had after He had died upon the cross, He was, you know, and spent 40 days here on this earth showing Himself alive by many infallible proofs. He was about to go to heaven, and the disciples were worried because He was going away. But Jesus said, listen. He said, I want you to go to in Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high, because He said, God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to give you strength. God wants to give you understanding. Now, what He was saying to those disciples is what God says to us. They had the responsibility of doing what the Lord had taught them for the past 3 years. Now, they had to recall that. And I'm sure that they were, you know, somewhat limited. They were worried about that. But Jesus said, if you'll look to the power of the Holy Spirit, He will give you understanding. He will give you wisdom that's far above yourself. And if we're to know the Word of God, we're going to have to ask God for wisdom to understand it. But He will give that to us liberally indeed, and a lot of it indeed. Expect to hear from God. Expect God to speak to you personally. And you know, the reason that we don't hear God sometimes is we don't take the time to listen. Realize that? Do you ever talk to anybody and they just seem to be ignoring you, and they just want to get their word in, and you that you know they won't listen to you? That's insulting, really. But we've all probably done it, but we shouldn't do that. When God is speaking, and He does speak through His Word, and He speaks through the Holy Spirit and so forth, take time to listen, because you will be blessed in a very special way. And then fourthly, the Word of God is for our information. We need to read it. The Word of God was sown. It found, in some cases, very good reception. The Word of God is for our information, that we might be informed, that we might know what God wants us to do. It's for our transformation. It's to change our life. And it's to change us into the kind of people that He wants us to be, holy and pure and different and separate from the world. God's Word was sown. We've talked about the sower, and we need to be sowers of God's Word today. We talked about the seed, which is the Word of God. Talked about the change that it can make in a person's life, including our own. How are you when it comes to God's Word? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this Scripture today, for this message. And we pray, God, that it would find lodging in all of our hearts. May it be a challenge to us, God, to realize our responsibility of living a godly life before other people, of learning all that we can about You so that we might pass that information along to a lost and dying world. Learning all we can, God, so that we can be transformed people by the power of God, holy and pure and effective witnesses. We pray, God, that every one of us would realize our responsibility, God, to Your Word, to each other, and to a lost and dying world. Guide and direct us in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed just a moment more, I wonder how many would say to me today, I need to know more about God's Word. I need to be more receptive to it. I need to be more open to it. God, help me to learn more about Him and the kind of person that I need to be. God bless you. God bless you. Would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me? God bless you indeed. Yes, bless you. Let's pray once more. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for the truth. Thank You for the parable that Jesus taught, Lord, about the seed, about the soil, about the Word of God. We pray, God, that it would find reception in our own hearts, that it would inform us of Your will, that it would transform us to the sort of people that You'd want us to be, and we would realize our responsibility afresh and anew to proclaim Your Word by the things that we say and by the things that we do in the world. Continue to bless us, Lord, individually. Bless us as a church. May our church, God, be one that stands strong for the Word of God. And may all of us realize our responsibility of living a sort of life that, Lord, as people look at us, they get an idea of what church is about, but they get an idea of what You are about. And may they get the true message of Jesus Christ and His love and His salvation when they look at us. Bless us in a very special way. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.